This is the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome to another edition of the Pomp and Pony Podcast. We are delighted to have with us one of the most colorful characters in Steelers history and the second most points in terms of field goals in Steelers history, behind only Gary Anderson. I'm speaking, of course, about Jeff Reed, who is kind enough to join me right now. So, JR, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Bob? It's good to hear your voice again. I mean, I've obviously kept up with you, but I haven't personally talked to you in quite some time. So, I'm just staying busy, man. That's it.
Well, it's that time of the year where, NFL seasons begin, so I thought it'd be a good thing to talk to you because kicking is such an important part of it. And, you know, you see all these different guys coming in and out of the league. Something struck me the other day, and this is not Steeler related, but I saw that Detroit cut both of its kickers, which left them with nobody. And I don't know what they've done subsequently, but, and I guess you understand because you've been through it. You spent 8 years here, which is a long stretch. The life of a kicker can be really, really crazy. You can empathize, I'm sure, with those kind of guys because you've gone through it, right?
Yeah, and you know, also, you mentioned Detroit, so did Dallas. So I don't know what either one of them have done. There are some guys that were starters last year and the previous year that got released, so I'm sure they got something in mind or they wouldn't just go into the season without a kicker, of course. But, you know, I'll be honest, and it's not because, I still want to play. I'm 42 years old. I can still kick, but that's not the point. The point is I think the value of the kicker has gone down. The value of special teams has gone down. When I played, you had some of the best returners. You had, if you weren't at least 80%, probably about 85% on field goal percentage, then you were in the bottom 16 instead of the top 16, which is a good thing. But, you know, everyone's so concerned about saving some money to pay somebody a little bit too much money that, you know, they don't have, I mean, there's probably 10 really good consistent kickers out of 32 teams. I think it's a money thing. It's fine to give a young guy a young guy with talent a chance, absolutely, to save some money. But, you know, it's a different mentality. You're not playing in Alabama and you're not playing at Florida. You're not playing at a smaller school. I mean, it's the NFL. You get paid to do what you do and fans don't care. You don't do your job. They want you out. And it's not like that in college.
So you said something there that piqued my interest. You said you're 42, which I knew, but you said you still could kick. You still want to kick?
I would love to. Just an opportunity, you know. And the reason I say that is I haven't actually kicked in a game in 10 years, and that's a long time. I mean, at some point, sometimes my body feels like it's been 10 years. Sometimes it feels like yesterday. But you know, I recently got on this health kick and lost 35 pounds. I coach a lot of kickers, private kicking and punting sessions, mostly kicking and kickoffs. In local high schools, some of my guys are in college now. And, you know, I don't literally kick with them all the time, but when I show them some stuff and it pops off my foot, I'm like, man, you know, you always wondered how Vinatieri at 45 and Morton Anderson and Gary Anderson in their 40s, how they do that, how they keep their body right. Well, I'm 42, and I feel better now than I did towards the end of my career. Obviously, I'm not in perfect, great shape like I was then, but, I mean, getting in the right shape for kicking is, you know, a three-month gig. Can I do it? Absolutely. Do I really truly think I'll get a chance? I don't. Just because of what I explained earlier. Everyone's looking for a cheaper price, and everyone's looking for a younger guy that can kick the ball 80 yards. But, you know, those guys that kick the ball 80 yards don't kick it straight. So that's the difference.
Well, you fascinating story, and for those who are listening and don't know his story, you were undrafted like everybody, it seems, with rare exception, who is a kicker and gets drafted. And so you had to go through tryouts. You had to do a lot of – and there was, if I'm remembering this right, it was Todd Peterson was the kicker, I think, and he got hurt. So you were brought in. And the rest is history. You spent 8 years here, won 2 Super Bowls, and you even were franchised, if I remember. I remember talking about that story when it happened. Not many kickers get to be franchised. So you, looking back, had quite the career here. But at the time of it, back in 2000, whatever it was, you probably had no idea what was lying ahead.
Absolutely not. The opportunity came. I mean, I had numerous, I went to the Saints, obviously, 2002 preseason when I was a true rookie. got released. It was with Coach Hazlitt, and Coach McCarthy was the offensive coordinator and some Pittsburgh guys. That's why I named him. You know, I didn't know anything about that. I didn't grow up a Pittsburgh fan. I couldn't stand them. I was a Chiefs fan. So the one team that always beat the Chiefs in the playoffs were the Steelers. So I didn't like them. But, you know, you come full swing. You know, I was a soccer player that wanted to play on the U.S. national team and started realizing, you know, pretty much towards the end of high school, unless I go into college and just blow it out of the water, I'm probably not going to be able to do that, even though it was a lifelong dream of mine. So I just tried kicking my senior year in high school. And that's the only year I actually kicked the football. And now the quality of high school kickers is crazy. I'm even training a couple guys that are 8th and 9th graders that, I mean, they can kick. And there's just an abundance of kickers, but they don't get coaching. And I know I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but, you know, all most special teams coaches, I'd say 95%, no matter what level of coaching you're at, high school, college, pros, they don't know how to kick. All they do is say, oh, you picked your head up. Oh, you dipped your shoulder. Well, how do you fix that then? So that's why I say the value of the kicker has gone down. So my story is it's a God-given talent that I discovered at the very last second before I walked on to Mack Brown in Chapel Hill. But at the same time, I didn't think I'd play in college, but then ended up playing 2 out of my 5 seasons because I was a walk-on and there was other guys ahead of me. Then I definitely didn't think, yeah, I said, I'll shoot for the pros. I didn't think I was going to play in college, so let's try it. I was thinking maybe Arena League because it was big back then. And, then all of a sudden, because of a connection, I end up on the Saints. And I'm like, wow, this is actually an NFL team, and I recognize these guys' names and, you know, all this crazy stuff. And so I thought, okay, well, now I'm seeing who I'm competing with. I can do this. I just need the right opportunity. And there were numerous times that I thought I had the right opportunity, but thank goodness it happened to be in Pittsburgh because I had not only a great opportunity, but a great fan base, a great organization, and a chance to win, which we obviously did. So that was, that's my career in a nutshell without talking for an hour about it.
You sound much more mature, which, of course, comes with everything. You're 42 now, but you were known as an eccentric kind of guy, and I know that. I looked at it as a fun personality guy. You had different hairstyles. You even convinced me one day to get mine like a porcupine or a peacock, and I got it colored, and I never did that. But I did it just for the sake of the show we used to do. What would you tell the young Jeff Reed, now that you're a 42-year-old Jeff Reed?
Well, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, he would probably tell himself not to hit a paper towel dispenser and do this and that and fight police officers. And yeah, because that's what I was in the news for. Nobody knows the real stories, but that's okay. They happen. I wouldn't change a whole lot, man. I mean, you're living a dream. Obviously, you're in a fishbowl, so you have to be careful who you're around, who you associate with, how you act when you're in public. I get all that. And there would be some things I'd do a little different, but I'm a kind of guy that, and look what we've been going through the past 2 years. An NFL stadium with maximum 5,000 fans or none at all. Who would ever thought? A rare disease that has been around, I guess, for a long time, but all of a sudden is killing everybody and putting everybody in hospitals and scaring everybody for the last year and a half, 2 years. So my thing is you live your life to the fullest because you're not promised to wake up tomorrow. So I wouldn't really turn around and say, well, I definitely would have never gone out. I definitely would not have done this. Nah, I would have gone out. I'm a guy that likes to be in public. I'm a guy that likes to make people laugh. I like to laugh. I like to smile. I like to have fun. So I wouldn't have changed a whole lot. It was just, you know, I wish I could go back and, you know, maybe at times, I mean, change the person that represented me because I could have got 3 to 5 more years in the NFL. I went through 2-3 agents in the last year and a half of my career. Because they just didn't help me. And, you know, I even reached out to a guy like Drew Rosenhaus. The only reason I say his name is because everybody knows who he is. And he just told me straight up, Jeff, I'd love to help you, but I got so many dudes that are free agents, I don't want to not give you enough time and energy. So I respected that. But I would change a few business decisions. I would change a few things that happened after football. I wouldn't change the person I am because I'm eccentric. I'm different. I think I'm normal. other people, I look at some people that a lot of people would say, man, that dude or that chick is completely normal, and I think they're weird. But I'm normal to me, and you know, so I'm just the kind of person that I like to be in front of them. I mean, when I do these autograph signings, when I go, I'm a motivational speaker now, and I speak to people, and it's not always Steeler fans, of course. I mean, shoot, I have people confronting me because all of a sudden the Browns are good, and, you know, Cowboys hate the Steelers, so they're Cowboys fans all the time. But they're like, man, you know, people need to get to know you instead of judge you. And I said, man, you couldn't have said that any better. But I get myself, even today, you know, I'm a minority owner of an arena football team here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, it's not the Arena League that used to be on CBS. We're trying to make it that. It's not, though, with Thomas Davis and another business partner of mine. Those guys are majority owners. And, you know, it's just the fact that I can wear my Super Bowl rings, a kid like almost breaks down, or a fan that's older than myself breaks down because they have a piece of jewelry that means you're a world champion on their hand. And, I mean, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we don't play Pittsburgh teams, and there's people in the stands full of Steelers jerseys. I mean, and with my name on the back, not the legends like Polamalu and those guys. And, you know, so that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of feel. So I wouldn't change a whole lot because the people that truly know me, they have nothing but really good things to say about me. I can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. None of us can. But I'll sure as hell try to put my name in public and my face in public as much as possible so people get to know the real me. And there's not, you say I sound more mature because I've matured through the years as a person doing interviews, and I have cleaned up a lot of stuff. And, you know, I have different goals. And I realize that, you know, nothing's handed to you in life. It wasn't, football wasn't either, but sure as hell isn't now. So why, if I continue to spend money and waste my life, what's that going to do for you? And so I do stuff like this all the time. I do a lot of things, have my hands in a lot of stuff to stay busy. But the ultimate goal is I love people, and I think if I'm around them and they know me and get to know me more, then, you know, any kind of article you read or any kind of picture you may see that isn't a positive one, that just kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, I like that. And I think I've known you pretty well, and I always appreciated your personality and what you did. And the other thing that struck me is you never ran away from anything that was critical of you. You just always stepped up and answered it. So you said something there that I didn't know. You're a motivational speaker. Without giving away everything you do, what is essentially your point when you want to, and I assume you talk to a lot of younger people, because I do that too, and I think wisdom gives you this ability to at least try to help them when they have no idea what lies ahead. What is your message to those kind of kids?
Yeah, so it all varies. I mean, I have something coming up that's all upper cervical chiropractic doctors who are up and coming, and some are multimillionaires. And I speak in front of those 100 people. And, you know, so that's a little bit different of a direction I go other than speaking to a high school kid or a middle school kid or a soccer team or a football team. You know, because you obviously change. But the one thing I always say, and, you know, I have a lot of friends that are coaches around the area, so, like, I speak to a lot of high schools now, as you just mentioned, but the message is the same, but it's said differently. I don't come with a bunch of index cards and read off them. I speak from my heart. You know, I interact with them. If somebody looks like they're bored, I'm like, hey, man, what's your name? And then, you know, I ask him a question. It's not whether or not he's paying attention. It's just I want to see where his head is right now because he's obviously not listening. So I do stuff like that because that's what people used to do to me in classes and all the time. Coaches used to do at meetings. If I look like I was spaced out, they're like, Jeff, what'd I just say? And, you know, and sometimes you nail it, and sometimes you sound like an idiot because you just don't pay attention sometimes. That's just life. But my message varies because a lot of times, no matter who I'm speaking to, I tell my story because everyone looks at you as you played pro football, you won Super Bowls. Man, life is made. You've got it made. As if money grows on the trees in my front yard. It's not true. I mean, did I accomplish some things that most people never get a chance to sniff? Absolutely. But there's a lot of people that I wish I had some of their talents too, but we're all different. We're all unique, as I say, YOUNIQUE. We're all unique. So, you know, I mean, it just depends. I mean, when you talk to these kids in schools now, you basically tell them that even though you're great at your sport, if you don't get the grades, you really won't amount to a whole lot because not everyone's going to get an opportunity to go somewhere and play a sport for life. You also tell them be careful who they hang out with because there's so many drugs and different things in schools now. And now there's school shootings. Those didn't really, there were fights all the time at my high school, but you never really thought you'd get stabbed or shot. Now you have to be on guard, on top of wearing masks, on top of everything else. So it's a different message for kids. But when it comes to CEOs and doctors and stuff like that, shoot, I tell it real. I keep it real. I throw some cuss words out there, and if I'm being passionate about my story, and you know, they leave with laughing and crying, because nobody knows what happens life after football or leading up to that. How I actually made the NFL and walked on to a college and never played football till I was 17 years old. Nobody knows that part. They just assume you're a damn good peewee league and you made it to the pros, and that's not true. And so, the message varies, but the one thing I always do, unless somebody tells me, make sure you hit on leadership, make sure you hit on family, I speak from the heart. I will take some notes if it's the specific thing that someone wants me to mention. But other than that, it's straight from my heart. And if I get going on a tangent or something, most people still have questions and are intrigued by it.
One final thing before I let you go, Jeff, and I appreciate the time. And I think it would be worth listening to you after everything you've gone through and what you've accomplished. I don't think many people realize that. Walk on, undrafted, you have to fight for everything you get. But that would be when it comes to kicking, because we analyze kickers all the time, but I don't think you really can. I equate it to golf, you know. I don't know if you play, but your swing can be great. You can technically be fine. But if your mind's not right, you're not going to do anything right. How much of this game for you as a kicker or any kicker is mental? Break it down for me.
That's a great question. You know, I've heard the golf analogy a million times, and I totally understand it, but I suck at golf, so I can't tell you that just because I was a great kicker and can still kick that I'm going to go out and dominate you on a golf course. That is 100% pure lie. I don't play enough. That's also something you have to do a lot to get really good at. And, you know, I broke my back in 2019, just during a routine workout, just trying to stay in shape, not doing anything crazy. You know, I've had injuries that kind of prevented me being on a golf course and taking lessons. And then now is the time I can do it. I just haven't done it, to be honest with you. But when you say mental is the biggest thing that I heard in your question, I tell these kids all the time, because these kids come out that I work with, and they're pure athletes. They can kick, but they don't hardly stretch. They hardly warm up. By the time I'm out there, I give them 15 minutes. Within 3 minutes, they're staring at me, and I'm like, what are you waiting on? They're like, well, I'm ready. And I'm like, well, you know, stretching is where you get your height from and distance on kicks. It's not just doing squats. Let's see, if you're not stretching and you're not warmed up, you'll never get maximum potential. So, and then I coach mentality, too. Like, I'll take these kids, like, even if it's with their family, but they don't like, most of them don't like being around their parents because they feel pressured. So it's just one-on-one. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying because They feel nervous and then they can tell me more. Kind of like if you go to the doctor for the first time as a kind of semi-adult without your parent, you can tell the doctor everything, what's going on, instead of being nervous that your mom or dad might yell at you. So that's kind of what I meant. So you can sit there and I talk to them and talk to them, and I talk to them about school. I talk to them about girlfriends. I talk to them if they're bullied. I talk to them about what other sports you're interested in. Anything. Your favorite subject, your worst one, why? Because no one ever did that with me. And when you do that, they're either super confident or they put their head down and tuck their tail between their legs, and you're like, okay, so I need to make this kid mentally stronger. And then you can all relate it to football, because if you buckle in the classroom, there ain't no way in the world you're going to be in front of 60,000 fans one day kicking field goals. I always say 90%, but a lot of people think that's a little high. It's at least 80% mental. Fundamentals at a young age, as a teenager, first few years in college, fundamentals you'll develop, and you'll never get great at them. I mean, you'll get great, you'll never perfect them, because I still haven't to this day. And I can tell anyone how to kick, but I had to change a lot of things in a lot of different situations and games, whether it's weather-related, field-related, whatever. But the one thing I will say is, you know, if you can't take pressure from a normal everyday situation, you can't all of a sudden get to a football field and knock them dead. But we did say, as you know, Coach Tomlin used to say, and Coach Cower, that the football field or your field of choice, whatever sport you play or court, is your sanctuary. Doesn't mean that you're all praying the whole time. What it means is it's your escape from reality. no matter what problems you have going on in your life, you leave those at the door, you go on that grass, you go on the turf, you do your job. So it is at least 80% mental once you get the fundamentals down. The fundamentals are a pain in the butt and very frustrating. But after that, I mean, okay, so you're 14 for 14, you miss a game winner in your on your 15th kick. So you look at your percentage, you're still 90%, but how do you react next time? Are you completely done when your team needs you your next kick, or are you just going to make the next one and get that last one out of your system? That's, I mean, so it is 80% mental for sure.
Well, I agree. I think it is, and I think you were able to come a long way because of that good, solid attitude you have, and it was an amazing career. Like I said at the beginning, second most points behind Gary Anderson, and 2 Super Bowl rings. Not bad for a career, and I'd love to see you get back in it one day, but if you don't, keep on doing the good work, and Jeff, it's been great catching up with you. Thanks for that, and I wish you well moving forward, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm not making any promises that I'll be on a field again, because, you know, obviously it's just not that easy. But the one thing I will say is everyone has their talents. I mean, I know that a lot of people can talk a lot, but they can't get behind a camera and do what you've done for the years you've done it. A lot of people can't just get on when you run a football camp and everybody thinks, like, the Steelers fantasy camp, the women's fantasy camp, anyone can kick an extra point, right? Yeah, 95% of them can't get the ball 5 yards. Or it looks like an onside kick, because people are all talented in different ways.
Right.
I can't fly an airplane, you know, but I can kick a football and I can speak in front of thousands of people. Some people, if you put them in front of 10 people, will buckle. It's just all talents, man. It's how you're built. So thanks for having me, man. Anything you guys need from me, I'm always around. I appreciate you reaching out.
Jeff Reed, one of the best in Steelers history. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That will do it for this week's Pomp and Pony podcast.
You've been listening to the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Pomp and Pony Podcast.